Awesome job, guys, as always. Thank you very much. You can go ahead and turn to 1 Peter. We'll be in chapter 2 this morning. Man, a great time together last week. I know many had various reasons while they were out. It was a small and intimate crowd last week, and just a very, very good gift of community, really. Last week was kind of discussion-based, and we came to some great conclusions last week from Scripture. It's great to hear other people's perspective and voices and speaking in to those kind of things. And so last week we started in chapter 2 and really went through verse 10. And there were several things that were brought about last week, but really some of the highlights, if you will, last week. We landed on this idea of spiritual sacrifices and what that meant, and really how that in each and every person's situation, that those could be different things, right? A spiritual sacrifice to me could be different than what it is for Bradley and what it is for Patty. Each of us is individually, no matter what it is, laying things down for the glory of God. And so we looked at that. But then really what spoke last week was this idea that we are a chosen race and a royal priesthood. Right? That we as believers aren't called into salvation just to sit and soak, but that we're called in this idea that we're to be servants and that we're to be priests for the people and really point to this person that we know and that we love, that his name Jesus. I encourage you, if you haven't got to, go back last week, if you weren't here, and watch the video and just hear the input that people put in. It was really, really good last week. That takes us to today. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11. And if you'll read with me from there. It says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme, or to governors sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you shall put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come together, that we can open your word, that we know and hold true to the fact that it is alive, it is God-breathed, inspired by the Holy Spirit to men to write down, not just for the church of the dispersion as it is in 1 Peter, but for the church today, that we can take encouragement, conviction, challenge, whatever you see fit in this place. And so that's what we pray. We trust that your word is alive and has something for us today. And so wherever we're at in our relationship with you today, Father, we pray that we can inch a step closer in that intimacy with you. We love you, and we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just a couple of things before we get into a topic that we can discuss together. I want to start here at verse 11, and it starts out with this word that you've heard in Scripture, this idea of a sojourner. And Andre alluded to this in his prayer in a powerful way, but really what this word is this idea of a temporary resident. Right, a temporary resident in a foreign land. And so Peter is addressing these people, the church of the dispersion, these that are scattered, these that are persecuted, going through all kinds of stuff, leaving family, leaving jobs, leaving ways of life because of their following of Jesus Christ. And he calls them sojourners. A sweet memory, a sweet thing to recount and let them know, hey, there is a home beyond this place. This is a temporary residence. And so he reminds them of that, and he also calls them something else. He says sojourners and exiles, right? They understand that they've been exiled. They understand the weight of what's happening. And he goes on even further to talk about this weight, and he says, abstain from the passions of the flesh, and listen to the wording that he uses, which wage war against your soul. This is not some kind of just thing to glance over. Right? When we have sins that are deep within, be it a passion of the flesh or be it any other kind of sin, it really isn't something just to brush over and say, well, God will forgive me of this and so I'll just let it go. Peter is reminding the people that when there is sin in our life, that it is a war that is raging inside of you. I'm a very literal person, and this helps me to think of it this way. It may be extremely weird for you to imagine this, but I just imagine a little battle going on inside of me. And when I think about it in that sense, I think, man, this is not how I'm supposed to live, right? Jesus has already given me victory over this battle, but I, in my sinful self, continue to allow this battle to wage on when really all I have to do is pray and seek the Lord, and it is covered, and it is victory, and the battle is done, at least at that moment, amen? And we have that power to go to Him. And so Peter is reminding them, this is a serious thing, this battle that wages war against your soul. And if we're honest this morning, and we like to be in this place, hopefully you will do that at your tables and in moments of community and moments of time that you can talk and you can be open and honest. It's a safe place to do that. I also want to preface it by this. If this makes you uncomfortable, that's okay. All right? Some people don't like to do this. Just sit and listen. Right? Soak it in. Don't feel compelled that you have to talk or that you have to bring something to the conversation. Just listen if that makes you most comfortable, okay? But as we do this, I want to take us to community topic number one. Beyond just the passion of the flesh, Peter brings up this idea of being this sojourner, right? This temporary resident. First topic is this. As sojourners, why is it so important for us to live beyond the here and now? If you will, just discuss that in your groups and we'll continue from there. Kind of how we do this is when we come to moments like this, just at our small tables, then kind of expand on that into the larger group. If you have anything, you feel led to share. And so the question, why is it so important as us as sojourners to live beyond the here and now? I'd love to hear some of the thoughts from that this morning. Maybe a simple question, but maybe a little more difficult in practice, right? Any thoughts on that? Anybody care to share? What's that?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
They were all about to hear now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Didn't turn out so well for them. Yeah.
We talk about the fact, you know, sojourning being like we aren't home. Like we're moving towards home, but we're not home yet. So rather than getting pulled off the path on our way there, looking at the stuff around us, we just kind of stay focused on where we're going.
If you're honest this morning, is that not like a just such an incredibly hard thing to do? Like I would say that most in here, knowing each of your story as I do, for the most part, would say that you have a relationship with God, right? That you have this relationship with the Lord and you love Him and you want to seek after Him. But even being that our focus, isn't it so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day? You know, I mean, like you just have to have those moments where you come back and you refocus and you really come back to this idea that, hey, this is not my home. But really, everything here draws our intentions. Like if you're an adult, a grown adult, and you have to go to work and you have to pay bills and you have to do these things, you have a career, you have school, you have these things that you have to do, it takes so much of our focus, right? And so it's so hard to separate that from, man, I got to do this, this, and this, and then having the broader focus of this isn't my home, right? But it feels like everything that we work for a lot of times is focused on the here and now. And so somehow God is calling us, and I believe that the most important key is with the power of the Holy Spirit, calling us to live beyond the here and now, that really everything should be wrapped up in our focus about Him, and that even our job, even our bills, even all of those grown-up things we have to do, that really the funnel on all of those things is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit, and it really is about Him in this place. Imagine, if you will, let's take it in the context of this scripture, being these people who've given up everything really to follow Christ, and some will give up the ultimate price and will give their very life right? At the very last moment of being offered with an opportunity to recant your faith or die, and these people say, I can't do that. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And that being death's blow that comes to this. And so Peter's writing these people and reminding them, encouraging them. It may not feel like it, right? These people are being persecuted and hunted down. But Peter's reminding them, encouragement through this. While it seems like everything is going wrong here, just remember, this is not your home. And so I want to challenge you with that this morning. I think God's Word is challenging us with that, just with that one word this morning, to realize that you are a temporary resident of this place. This place is just a temporary home, that there is something much more. And so if that's the case, well, we need to be investing into that home much more than we do here, right? Doesn't take away the fact that we have to do things here, but our focus needs to be on our eternal place, all right? Let's continue on. We'll get into some more discussion here as we go. I want to challenge you with this thought here of an idea of this, the passions of the flesh that wage war against the soul. I want you to know this morning that you are loved by God and you are loved by community. You have people in your life. And really, in this idea of waging war, you don't have to fight this battle alone. Amen? God has given you the Holy Spirit, and He's also given you people that will fight with you if you'll allow them to do that. Also want to remind you of this, go back in some Old Testament history. Our individual sin, these passions that wage war, affect the whole community. If you don't believe me, go back and read the story of Achan, right? The sin in the camp. You got to watch those Achan's people, right? But go back and look at that. It does affect other people. And so just remember that, and remember that people will fight with you. We kind of looked last week at this idea of spiritual sacrifices, and really what it comes down to this is the battle that is waging. Are you going to allow the passions to win, or the spiritual sacrifices? Really, there's a place, and I think it was Shanda that said it last week, of just this idea of what that spiritual sacrifice was to her. This idea of really just having something within us that maybe we want, or maybe even an accolade that we want, but really that we have to just lay that down in the still and in the quiet where nobody else sees but God. And that spiritual sacrifice is laying down in worship to Him and saying, I choose you over me. Right? And so really that is that battle. Are you going to allow the passions to win, or is it going to be a spiritual sacrifice where you lay that down and say, not today, right? Not me. Amen? Right? I'm going to allow the spiritual sacrifices to take place. I'm going to lay these things down, right? And so let's continue on. Look at verse 12. Starting here, it says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Anybody in here a Gentile? Anybody here a Jew? Okay, if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile, right? That's us Gentiles that were looked so badly upon in Scripture, mostly correct, right? We see some coming to Scripture that meet Christ, and that's what Paul was called to. And aren't we glad for that, right? Aren't we glad that we're included in that and know who Jesus is and know that He's our Savior as well? But here it says this, conduct honorable. And listen to this. It continues on. It says that they may see your good deeds. Now, I want to tell you, I believe wrapped up in this verse, and this is probably your lead example at times in my life, getting caught in this boat, paddling down this troubled creek, and really just stopping at this place right here. Here's what it says. Conduct yourselves honorable so that others may see your good deeds. And what we do is a lot of times we stop at that place in Scripture, and we somehow puff up pride within our religious self and say, well, the Bible says I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to conduct myself honorably so that others may see my good deeds. Now, what's the problem with stopping at that place in Scripture? The problem is that can be very prideful. It can get us to a place of thinking that it's all about me. Right? I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to check off this box. I got to make sure I read my Bible. I got to do this. All for people to see my good deeds. But that is not where Peter stops. Look what he continues to say. He says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that they may speak against you as evildoers, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Right? That's the point. Honestly, I'm going to give you a pass this morning. I'd have to question your salvation at this point if you're living in this mindset in the day-to-day. But if you're saying, man, I'm just going to do this because Keith wants me to do it, I'm going to do this because my community wants me to do it, I'm going to do this because I think it's just what I need to do, right? And that's the only reason you're doing things, just stop, right? Stop beating your head against the wall and trying to go through the religious motions. The idea of why you do what you do is so that people will see it and glorify God. Right, so that when people look at me and if they see some kind of good deed in me, see some kind of spiritual sacrifice that maybe they actually see, right? It's not in the quiet, but they see this one, that they don't look and say, boy, that Keith Akins is a swell guy, right? He's a good guy. No, they look at it and say, I know that guy, right? That's some of Christ coming out of me. That's what we want to have. That's what we want to see, and that's what the example that we want to give. Of being a people that kind of goes back into last week that sees that it's not of ourselves, that we were chosen, a royal priesthood, once not a people, but now God's people, once had not received mercy, but now have received mercy because of that. It's that overflow, right? The filling of us and then the flowing out. So many stop there and say, I'll let them see my good deeds, but it's more about themselves. But Peter continues that they may glorify God. Okay? Before we head into the next verse, I want us to talk about this together in our groups in community topic number two. What do you think of when you hear the word submission? What do you think of when you hear the word submission? I'll be honest, the redneck in me come out and thought about Ric Flair. Anybody know who Ric Flair is? Woo! Yeah. Woo! Come on now, right? Put that figure four, right? That's not the kind of submission he's talking about, right? I was hoping Blake would be. Would you tell Blake there was a Ric Flair reference today? Blake's my wrestling friend. He likes that old school wrestling. None of this new junk. We don't like that. But the old stuff, we like that. All right? But what do you think of when you hear the word submission? Not Ric Flair. Anything else? Go ahead. Talk about it. Everybody kind of wrap up, and if you will, also take notice of Jack Anderson's bag that he's brought. Jack, did you show everybody the bag that he brought to church? That's a cute. That's what it is. There's a Christmas vacation quote.
Is that your purse?
Yes, yeah. My purse.
That's Jack's Bible case. He carries his Bible in that. I like it. All right, awesome. Let me read this verse here before we get into your answers. Obviously, in the idea of submission, some of your translations will say the word submit. Mine says be subject, but same thing. Verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors. Let's stop right there at that point of scripture. What's your thoughts? The idea of submission. Any thoughts on that this morning?
I get the word servant in my head when I hear submission. Mm-hmm. They were submitted to our masters.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like a slave or something, but in a good sense.
Yeah. I think you're dead on with that.
Early on, I had to get past the word vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Particularly in my injuries.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to put Jamie on the spot. I heard her saying something that a lot of people consider that weakness, right?
So the world teaches that submission's weakness, like, you know, rather to anything. If you're doing that, you're weak, you're, you know. That's not
I won't call you out. I can call my wife. We got that right, I think. She'd do the same to me. Any other thoughts?
I think submission actually is strength.
Yeah, absolutely.
These kids, it was the way I can say it, it was a willful or coerced reliance on mercy.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah, that is deep this morning. I'm putting that one in the bank for this week. I think that's awesome. Any other thoughts? What about the idea when Peter kind of Jesus jukes us here into a moment of thinking about our government? I don't know about you, but sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I look at our government and think, man, we're really missing the boat with this or with that or whatever. But here, Let me just read this again. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every. What is that? You know what every means? Yeah, it's real deep, right? It's easy to kind of pass that over. But be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors. Let me just again remind you here for a second. These are people that in some cases are being chased down by the government. And Peter, you've got the... I can just imagine, this is just me. I can just imagine myself reading, are you kidding? Like, this is the are you kidding me point. Where I stop and say, man, I'm all about this idea of Jesus dying for me. I'm all about the living stone. I'm all about the once not a people, now a people. And once not have mercy, now I have mercy. I'm all about that. Peter, I'm amening you. I'm chanting you down. But hold up. Wait a minute. Now you're telling me that I need to submit to every institution. I need to be subject to... What am I doing out here running? I want you just to just take a phrase, though, that oftentimes... Maybe we take this out of context a little bit, okay? I want to come in and paint the picture of really what this verse, I believe, is talking about. Many will quote this and say, well, you know, you need to be subject to every institution. All right? I want you to see just a key phrase this morning. If you will, underline it in your Bible, highlight it on your iPad, make a mental note in your brain, whatever works for you. But I want you just to listen to this. Verse 13. Be subject... For whose sake? It says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. There really is this very, very important phrase. I hate to use this phrase within our political context, but God trumps the government. I want you to understand that this morning. Not in a Donald Trump kind of sense, but God trumps the government. I couldn't think of a better word. I hated to use that this morning. But he really does. All right, now I want you just to stop and let this marinate. Let's kind of work through this morning because it's a very misunderstood passage. I love the United States of America. I really, really do. In fact, it annoys my wife if I pass by the History Channel and there's something American on there, like I'm going to stop, right? Look at Bradley, he's a communist, getting up and leaving during the talk. I love America, right? I really do, though. I love our country, but I want you to know that God overrides our love for country. I'm a big believer in the Constitution of the United States, not to get political this morning, but I want you to understand this. One day, even though some aspects may have been inspired by godly principles, one day the Constitution of the United States of America will fade away. But the Word of God is forever. All right, so I want you to think about it in this context. And while that may feel anti-American, I want you to think about this because we are sojourners, right? He's told us this. You are temporary residents here, right? Your allegiance is not to necessarily this place. While we must work in its framework, our allegiance is to our home. Where is our home if we know Him? This is not a trick question. Yes, thank you, Brandon. Our home is in heaven, right? That is where our allegiance lies. We are actually, in a sense, and Scripture backs this up, we are ambassadors of our God in this foreign land. We are still here for a reason. When I was a kid, I would think about this, and I would think about, God, there is so much trouble for your people. Especially when I would hear stories in Southern Baptist cultures, we would have missionaries come in once in a while, and you'd hear about this lady, Lottie Moon, over and over, you know, right? Lottie Moon, I'm thinking, man, are we ever going to pay Lottie Moon off? Like, I didn't know who she was and understand the story, right? But you hear these things. You would have missionaries come in, and they would talk about the persecuted church, and say, God, why don't you just take us home? Right, I see scriptures about this, and I'm like Happy Gilmore to the golf ball. We too good for our home. Why can't we just go home? Right? Why are we still here? Why are we stuck in this place if it's so bad for everybody? And it's kind of like this one foot in, one foot out. Like we're here, but we're not really supposed to be here. We're supposed to be focused on above. But there's got to be a reason why He didn't just at the moment of this true repentance, this true conversion, He didn't just like zap us out of here. That would be pretty amazing, right? That would be a church service that would end up with nobody attending, right? And you imagine the pastor was like, would you come down and give your heart to Jesus? And they really come down and they give their heart to Jesus and they're gone, right? A ticket out of here? I mean, wouldn't that be an amazing thing, right? The invitation would end and nobody would be standing there. Just be the pastor, most times, left behind in that moment, just standing there, and the deacons there, or whoever, right? They'd just be standing there and be left behind. But there's a reason, right? There's a reason that God has us here in this moment. And it's for the Lord's sake. Really, in any kind of thing that you can show just a submissive heart to, right? And really what this boils down to is a submission to your pride. I think several kind of alluded to that, right? Like a humility. Into a moment where you can say, hey, it's not me that lives, but Christ, I really want you to live through me today. And if you're like me, that can't be a one-time prayer. That has to be a daily, hello, hourly, minutely. I don't even know if that's a word, but that's where I'm at. Right? In moments where I will see my flesh just kind of just rear its ugly head and just have to say, no, right? Not now. God, would you just help me? Right? Would you just help me with that thought? Would you help me with that word? Would you help me with this action? Just help me. And it really comes down to that idea of He has us here as sojourners, not just living in the here and now, forgetting about everything else, but abstaining from things and conducting ourselves in ways where we're submissive for His sake. I can't tell you. I don't know if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know. A more modern version was Jesus Freaks. If you remember DC Talk and those people, they put out kind of a more modern version of that. Amazing stories, right, of these people that would be in these moments of death. I mean, basically like recant your faith in Christ or die. And these people just saying, man, I can't. Jesus is my Savior. And stories of those people who were their captors saying, man, there's something about this that's real. I can't say that I would die for anything, but there is something about this. And stories where people would be saved, dramatically saved, through the testimony of somebody like that. And here's what Peter is reminding. For the Lord's sake, be subject to every human institution, but reminding ourselves that God obviously trumps any of these things. We follow, we are subject. We do all things for the Lord's sake. In fact, I want you to just do the pulse check this morning. Go ahead and check. Everybody got one? Everybody good? All right. You live and breathe this morning for the Lord's sake. Understand that. Write that down. Put it a mental note. You live and breathe for the Lord's sake. I just, not to make any of your bosses mad, not to make any of your principals, not to make any of your deans, not to make any of people who are over you in any kind of sense, but you don't live for their sake. That's a vessel that you submit, and that's a vessel that you live for God, but you live and breathe for the Lord's sake. So as it relates to 1 Peter, when we look, we see God first and then the institution. When it doesn't go against God, I believe we submit for His sake. I just want to get you to flashback. Look at verse 9 with me. I know this is going back a little bit. But I want you just to remember this. First off, if you don't feel precious in the sight of God this morning, if you don't feel like, man, this has just been a bad week, write this down. Put it a mental note. Listen to this. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. You understand this? When we sing about that redeeming love we did this morning, He bought you. All right? I mean, think about that. Not in a cheap or insignificant way. He bought you with His life's blood, with the precious blood. He bought you. And He didn't do this just so you'd be a slave or just so you'd be this. It says He bought you for His own possession, so you could be His and He could be yours. That's an amazing, amazing story. And so as we think of that, why would God buy us and want us to submit to others, especially some of those leaders that we have? I want you to understand this morning. I believe God is sovereign. God has a plan, right? Those that come into leadership, whether we agree or not, for some reason, God has a plan for that. And right now, I want to challenge you this morning. If you're not praying for your president, if you're not praying for your government, maybe some of the time, instead of just complaining, we could hit our knees and pray, Lord, be with them. Even if you don't agree with policies or the way they do things, okay? We pray for those people. Same here in the dispersion, as they could submit for the glory of God, but in some, many had to go against that leadership, right? Facing moments of them saying, here's your government, here's what we are telling you to do. We are telling you to recant everything that you believe or you die. Right? The submission goes out the window at that point. They are bringing them to do things that are against God and against His sake. And remember, this is all for the Lord's sake. So God supersedes any of those things. And so just remember that in these talks. Why is this important today? I believe the day is coming where persecution is going to be greater and greater and greater for His church. We're going to be placed in situations where you see it already, where pastors are not allowed to say certain things, right? They're not allowed to even in years past, remembering a story of a pastor standing before his congregation, listening, God bless USA, God bless America, standing before his congregation and telling them that Jesus is the only way to salvation, and him being charged with a hate crime for saying that that's the only way. Now, I want to tell you, in a case like that, right, that's where submission goes out the window. We can't recant what God has already told us. And so in any situation, be it your parents, your boss, your dean, any kind of situation like that, as long as it doesn't go against the Word of God, we submit. And we do so, why? Not for our sake, but whose? The Lord's. Amen. Paying attention. All right, the day is coming. Verse 14b, let's continue on the last part here. As sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. We can see in this verse here a little bit of why the situation and why the order. I want you to know that God in all things is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos and not a God of confusion. He puts authority in place for a reason. It's guardrails, right? He knows without it, man, what kind of society we would be. I want you just to jot down these verses here and look at this later. Paul is not quiet on either of these things as it relates to our government. Just jot these verses down. Romans 13:1, and 1 Timothy 2:1-4. Romans 13:1, 1 Timothy 2:1-4. Can I get real technical here this morning and get on some treacherous ground with us? What does that mean about my speed limits? Taxes. Ooh.
Hard. Be hard.
Come on, Dad. Right? You know, here's the thing. It's kind of like we talked about last week with these spiritual sacrifices. Okay? What one person's spiritual sacrifice is may not be a spiritual sacrifice to others. You could obey every single law we have on the books, speed limit, taxes, and all this stuff, and be doing that for the reason of you just wanting to be a religious, upright, just I'm going to do things by the book kind of person. Or when you do those things, it could be a spiritual sacrifice. It could be an act of worship. That's just something for you to think about this morning. I do not have all of that wrapped up in my brain of how that will all work. But man, that is a tough, you said that's tough this morning, right? Yeah, that's tough. Mark it down for all of us, all right? But all we do, submission and otherwise, for the Lord's sake. Anybody ever wanted to know the will of God? Have you ever?
Yeah.
You ever questioned that? That's a deep subject, right? And it can mean many things, but here we're told in black and white what one of the ideas of the will of God is. Look at verse 15 with you. It says, for this is the will of God. Pretty plain and simple, right? He's going to tell us this is the will of God. Here's what it says. That by doing good, you shall put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. You can raise hands if you want to. Anybody feel like they know a foolish person? Hello, right? Jamie thinks she lives with one. Right? It just happens. All right? But I want to just kind of share with you one of the most applicable places in Scripture. The Bible is not quiet on the fool. Right? There are many ideas of what the foolish is, but can I just tell you what I think one just really, really is applicable here? Okay? It says, as right by silence the ignorance of foolish men. Psalm 14:1 tells us about a foolish person. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. You see people living that way today, right? There is no God. Living life as if they want to, with no set of rules, no boundaries, no relationship, nothing. Just living for themselves. So the fool is one that says, there is no God. So for the ones that would persecute you, for the ones that are the foolish of this place, that they would see you doing right, not for your sake, or not for your name, or not for your glory, but for the Lord's sake, they would see that. And somehow our hope is that these who are foolish that say there is no God, that they would be brought to a place prayerfully to repentance. That's why God has us here. Right? It's an amazing thing. And Michael, I've been reading like your post when you put, he's reading Multiply right now. If you've never read that, it's an awesome book. And it's hitting with a lot of kind of what we're talking about here. Right? That this idea that when God plants a church, when God plants a community, he has the nations in mind, right? It's not just about this room, and it's not just about this city. That's the reason God doesn't just zap us up. He puts us in community with one another because God is all about relationships. He created relationships, right? He looked at man in the very beginning and he said what? It's not good for him to be alone. Created man and woman to be together in this thing. And then created the church and all of these things, all for the Lord's sake, for his name, that it would bring people to repentance. So if you want to understand what is the will of God, what do I do? By doing good, that you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Foolish people who say, man, there is no God. And so Peter's talking to people dispersed, scattered, persecuted, and he's telling them, by doing right, by loving people, right? All of the things we know that is right and that is good, by being humble and showing humility and serving one another, by doing all of these things, that you may put the foolish to shame and they may see your life, and not for your sake but for the Lord's sake, one day give glory to God. That's our hope. That's what we're here for. Community topic number 3. I'd love for you guys just to handle this one together. Discuss verse 16 with your group. Just discuss, and we'll talk about that quickly in closing here just for a second. All right. Let's read this together and discuss it as a group. Verse 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Any thoughts on that? Heard some great discussion. Anything you care to share with the group?
I'll let your freedom go to your head.
Okay.
We also said earlier, it's like your freedom, we have in America, freedom too, but then it's also like your freedom from sin. Like, we can't take grace for granted that it's okay for me to go do what I want to do because God's grace is going to cover me and it's going to okay it. So you can't take advantage of, his grace either.
Anybody want to be real honest and put yourself in that boat this morning? Anybody ever do that? Man, it's paid for, right? That's an abuse of grace for sure. That I think, if we're honest, we all are guilty of. Maybe not at this current moment, but at some time in our life, living life in that. And man, that's tough. Anything else? It's a good thought.
Powerful for what's going on before and after it. Talking about setting an example so that we, as people, proclaim his name, the time of the visitation, and then to follow that with, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor their works, and then go straight into the servants, be subject to, your master, whether they be a good master or an unjust one. It doesn't make any difference, I think. It's just something powerful there to say, that in our freedoms, yes, that we are free from our sins, but also even more than that, in our freedom, that it's the idea that we in our freedom choose to submit to a slave master, that we have a great power, we have a father, who can wipe out complete people groups in the Old Testament, and instead of fighting Christ on the cross, you know, commanding all of the powers of the heaven, you know, to get himself off of there. He chose freely to submit. He chose freely to give his life. And, you know, he led his free people in the sense of, you know, choosing to love, choosing to be just, but also choosing to think about great suffering and great trial.
Yeah.
You know, to serve well and to be in a just situation or in a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and I think going into the... Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'd like to paraphrase it. Well, living in service of God, nation free. Therefore, you know, one is part of the other, and just don't do it for the wrong reason.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think going back to a place... I just want to be real careful with this. As you understand, like, our feelings, like, you know, you hear people say, well, I feel, that can get you in trouble, okay? Because God's word is pretty clear, you know, in a lot of areas that we would say, but I feel like, all right, so I want you to take that out. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But I want to come to a place just to try to put our minds in the mind of God. I know that's a very difficult thing, right? But we can't do that. But if you must, like, to take it down to a human institution, like a parent, if you will, for their child, you know, God's called a father. I think most of us in here would say that God would forgive us of anything, right? I mean, would you agree that really nothing other than rejecting Christ is forgivable? And so this is the kind of love, and this is the kind of grace that is available. And so where true freedom comes, and where this freedom to really shun evil, and going back into this idea of spiritual sacrifices, see the action of love towards this, a God, a father, a parent, that has said, really, that anything that you do, I can forgive because of Christ. Right? The idea of being a child of his and just saying, well, I'll just do whatever I want to do, then it's paid for. Right? You can't see an act of worship in that. That's not a spiritual sacrifice. But listen to this. A people who are free, right? I'm talking Mel Gibson, Braveheart, freedom, right? Kind of free. Like, I mean, the freedom that has set us free, that we know that this is not our home, but that one day we will spend eternity with him on nothing of our own accord. Our righteousness is filthy rags, but because Christ died in our place, that really the gospel is that one day when you stand before a holy God, he is going to look at you, Jack, Jimmy, Becca. He's going to look at you. If you have Christ's blood on you, he's not going to look at you and say, that's Jack, Jimmy, and Becca. He's going to say, this is my son. This is the blood of my son that has covered them and made them whiter than snow. Amen. And so when you come to that kind of place and there's been that kind of freedom, that we who are free people lay that freedom down to sin and do what we want to and ask forgiveness, we lay it down and say, not me. I know it's paid for, and because of that great payment, because of that great love, I'm laying down what I want to do inside of here. My spiritual, these fleshly passions or any of these things, I'm laying them down, and my spiritual sacrifice is I'm going to serve you. I'm going to submit. I'm going to do whatever I've got to do for the Lord's sake. That's what free people do, right? That's the real freedom moment when Christ has really set us free. It's when we come to that place and say, yeah, I'm free to do this. Or even things that maybe necessarily aren't sin, but are not the best, that we say, I'm free to do that, and there's freedom in Christ, but I lay that down because of the Lord's sake. And so, man, that's where real freedom happens. Just a couple of things before we finish up. Jot this verse down. You can go back and look at it. I'll read it this morning. But 2 Corinthians 3:17, it talks about freedom. It says, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if you want true freedom this morning, the spirit of the Lord needs to reside in here. And that's only possible through that gift of Jesus. Freedom from what we've been set free from, to shun evil and to lay it down, and the freedom to lay it down and say, I'm a free person, but I'm laying this down to be a slave, to my God, a servant to my God. He is our Lord. He's your Lord, right? You're free, but your freedom has this allegiance, if you will. The freedom that has set you free, it makes us want to have not just a Savior, but a Lord, and say, I don't want to live, but I want you to live through me. Just a couple of things I jotted down, and I'll close with this last verse. Free people, sojourners, aliens not tied to flesh, living with purpose, freed from institutions, our home is above, all for the gospel's sake, leads us into this last verse. Honor everyone. Who's everyone? This is real deep. Everyone. And so really, I think we talked about this last week. I want to thank Patty for bringing dessert this morning. Shanda painted this cool picture for us last week. That really, the Monday through Saturday is the meat and potatoes of the week. Who doesn't love meat and potatoes, right? Amen. I feel like doing Tim the Toolman Taylor voice on that. I can't do it, but meat. Potatoes, right, of the week. And that Sunday is this dessert time. We celebrate it. It's sweet and it's succulent. I just like that word. It's a nice time to come together to celebrate what's happened through the week. And so in your week, in the meat and potatoes of it all, God gives us this easy command, right? Honor everyone. You say, man, that's the people that are mean to me. That's the people that are just, you know, got a case of the Mondays every day of the week. That's, you know, that's those people. Everyone. Even that someone that Peter would write and say, you're the church of the dispersion. You're scattered. You're persecuted. People are coming after you. Honor everyone. Now, why would we do such a thing? It's for the Lord's sake. Here's what else he says. Love the brotherhood. Who's he talking about with the brotherhood? He's talking about us. The believers, the brotherhood that he's brought together, and sisterhood, right? Those that he's brought together, the church, the people that they were running with, the people that they were scattered with, love the brotherhood. The only fear that he puts in is this. He says, fear God, right? Reverence, honor God as well. And then he says, honor the emperor. Going back to these institutions again, for the Lord's sake. I've asked Brantley as we close this morning just to put a lyric back on the screen. It's one that's been on my mind since we sang. God works with me in music sometimes that way, and it's still just been in the back of my mind. I'm not going to try to recreate what you sang, Meredith, and Andre, what you played. That would sound awful. But I thought, man, as I'm thinking about the scripture, there's a whole lot that's summed up into this right here. You know, man, if you want to be at a place where you're honoring everyone, you want to be at a place where you're submitting, you want to be at a place where you're a free person, laying down your freedom and saying, I know you've paid for it. I know I could do this. I could do that. You would forgive me. No, not today. That's spiritual sacrifices. If you have a relationship with God, I want you to just try to remember back to that childlike heart. Right, I think of Kinsey this morning, honestly. I really do. I think of her, how she came up this morning, and if you were here when she came up, how she was hugging everybody and how she was just so excited, and how really if we tell Kinsey something, she believes it. She takes it to heart. She does it. And she listens. And any of you that know and love Kinsey, I mean, she, you know how respectful she is on those things. To give us a childlike heart. Lead me to where you are because I'm coming back to my first love. Remember the time that you met him for the first time? Man, when you understood that everything that you had ever done was paid for with a precious price. That's the kind of life that he wants us to lead, not just in that first moment, right? In all our moments, he wants us to come back to that place. I don't know if that means anything to you. I had that just stuck in my head, and I wanted to share that this morning as we close together. So would you pray with me this morning? Father, we love you. We thank you for this time that you've given us in community. We thank you for this time that you've given us in the Word. I pray that both has been beneficial, and Father, that you have spoken, that you've challenged, that you've encouraged, that you've convicted wherever and whatever was needed. We trust you with that and pray that you continue to work. My prayer is that if someone in this room has not yet had a childlike heart coming to you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day. And if they have, that they would just revisit that sweet moment and live in that moment this week as they try their very best, not out of some sense of duty or obligation or religious fervor, that they would just come to you and say, I'm laying down any freedoms, and I'm just saying, I want to serve you. I want to be you to people, even if that means people are persecuting me, even if that means the very death of me or the very death of what life looks like now, that I would just serve you with everything I've got. All for your sake. Over and over in this passage, I think it comes back to that, God. For your sake, for your sake, we do these things. And so let us be people, individually and together as a body, that are all about your sake. We love you, we pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.